Okay, let's talk about discipline. Everyone wants to know, how do I handle these kids when they're combative or bratty, aka, how do I get them to not talk back and do what I want? Especially those headstrong teenagers who think they're always right. All right, guys, here's the deal. The pro-social behavior that you want in your teenager is a product of a neurodevelopmental trajectory that started in utero, not the result of you sufficiently punishing him when he snuck out of the house at age 14. These kids are born with certain neurologies, with certain stress flavors, the tightly wounds, the tuned out, the ostriches, the hyped up, the hypervigilant, the pleasers, and all different combinations. Know your baby's tells, attune to them, touch them when they're tight, look at them and respond to them with what they need. And yes, let them cry when they're overtired, and you engaging with them hypes them up more. All of it, see them, attune. Infancy is when you scrap the screen and actually have them right next to you, seeing each other. She's crawling and dragging her drooly face through the laundry, and you're training your brain to do two things that are necessary for lifelong attunement: tolerating boredom and tolerating chaos and disorder without managing it. It's good for infant cognitive development to hear words, but more importantly for you to train yourself to make observational statements with your kid with a pleasant facial expression and tone. Side note, why do we do this for babies, but we forget about this with our teens and with our spouses? Train yourselves, parents, when they're babies, eye contact, smile like you enjoy them, and just narrate everything with no judgments or requests, just observational statements. Like, you're almost there. You're almost about to roll over. You're wearing your pink pajamas with the piggies. That noise was loud. It's bright in here. The sun is shining through the window. And side note again, when they're older, that habit becomes a happy, hey, you're home early, when they walk in the room. And that can make a huge difference in the tone of the household and also how combative the kid is. If you trained yourself to attune pleasantly and make observational statements when they were babies, it's easy to keep doing that when they're toddlers. Only now, the kids' inner worlds are more sophisticated and they need more guidance with developing their own emotional awareness. So you keep that same benefit of the doubt that you obviously had when they were babies, knowing their brains aren't cooked yet and keeping in mind that whatever they're doing needs guidance, not anger. And now when they're toddlers, you keep looking at them pleasantly and just labeling out loud some more sophisticated emotional content and adding some more limits or redirection. I see you're having fun throwing the spaghetti, but we don't throw food. Some people obsess about maintaining your own boundary as a parent, like saying, I won't let you throw food, instead of throwing food isn't polite or whatever, but I'm not that nitpicky, like whatever. Just calmly label the feeling with benefit of the doubt and redirect if need be. I know you were disappointed that I won't let you throw the candle. Let's throw this sock or this foam instead. Soft things won't hurt anyone. This is the developmental stage where parents also practice taking ownership of their own feelings, so your kid doesn't have to take ownership of them. You let yourself feel your own lack of control and your own tension and frustration, so your kid doesn't have to be developmentally inappropriately hyper-controlled or hyper-vigilant or even compelled to play the very fun and false intimacy game of acting out so that your very controlled mom finally is real in the form of annoyance. Very intentionally choose your behavior. You want to scream because your kid crawls out of his big boy bed 80 times a night, but you keep reflecting that you know staying quiet by yourself while you wait to fall asleep is hard, and you know he can do it. And quite frankly, it's okay to tell your kid occasionally that it's frustrating for mommy too, because mommy is tired. Occasionally, just modeling your own humanity, not making the kid be a caretaker. Then you give so many high fives and hugs when he tolerates that feeling of being alone in his bed for 10 long minutes before you usher him back into bed. An even bigger celebratory greeting the next morning when you remind him that he tolerated that bored alone feeling for 15 whole minutes, and that's all it took to fall asleep. Awesome, I knew you could do it. And we're talking toddlers and preschoolers, so you know you'll have to tolerate another 43 nights of that before that phase is over, and you'll be hanging on by a thread to not bash your face into the wall or scream your head off. And that is for a neurotypical kid. A kid who is born with more anxious temperament will do everything from overtly refusing and outright exploding. And this is the kid that especially needs the parent to be regulated themselves to be able to pull off calm attunement and emotional reflecting. These neurodivergent kids are the ones who sometimes just really need someone attuned and breathing slowly next to them or holding them or driving steadily while they're screaming and strapped in the back seat. These kids especially need their parent to show them that they trust that every storm, every emotion has a beginning, middle, and an end. And sometimes just sitting through it with them and not managing it is what shows that. So the kid will be able to trust that that's true someday. And the toddler preschool stage is also the stage where you're triggered the most by stuff you didn't get when you were little. Because your inner child is probably about 3 years old and it just hurts to tell your son, I know it's hard to be patient and wait to open the crackers. I'm in a hurry to the checkout. You're doing such a good job waiting. When you got slapped for opening the graham cracker box in the Winn-Dixie. Speaking of parents being regulated, during this toddler preschool stage, you've also trained yourself to choose your battles. And if the kid wants to wear two different shoes and do chalk on the trampoline, a little flexibility goes a super long way. Parenting is about attunement, not shoulds and perfection and rules. And there's nothing like the toddler stage to beat that into a parent. Well, if your kid isn't on a screen during grocery shopping, etc., that's a whole other topic. Okay, so then the middle childhood stage. By this point, you've trained yourself to attune to your kid. But just as importantly as training yourself, you've trained your kid to know, I'm feeling a thing and that feeling is always valid. I can choose a different behavior, but I take for granted that I'm good and acceptable. I cannot tell you how far that goes for empowering and allowing healthy social emotional development. So this is the stage when parents hit a new skill really hard. Enjoying their kids, leaning into their perspective and asking about it so those kids can learn to think for themselves and to argue politely instead of whining when they disagree. Tell those kids explicitly, we're gonna disagree on whether or not you should wear a helmet, and that's okay. And you tell them about stories when you were a kid and you felt the same way. You didn't want to wear a helmet because it was so sweaty and annoying. And you get why he feels that way. You can empathize and stay connected while you disagree and have expectations. If you don't lay down the foundation for this early, the teenage years will suck. So then we have teenagehood. And if you've done that stuff that I was just talking about, your teenager feels neither confused nor secretly defective about the entire spectrum of his human experience on the inside. And most important for this stage, even if he doesn't always agree with you, he associates you with safety. So I could go on and on about my particular experience raising teenagers. I'm gonna say something I didn't expect is that as I attune to them, I realize that my particular kids, all boys if that matters, need to know that I trust them and need so much benefit of the doubt. They need me to say, I know that you either just forgot and totally have a plan to handle it already, or it was a mistake in the grade book. Not to say, what the heck, you forgot to hand in your project? They know how good it feels to have someone look at them with acceptance and enjoyment, and it hurts them if they get less. I also find that I'm making concessions that I didn't expect. I'm doing things that don't feel automatically comfortable for me because I really see what my kids need is freedom and trust. Probably because of this little thing called love, I'm doing that. Of course, it's trickier now. Their brains are so uncooked. They legitimately think some things are okay, like walking around with their friends at 3 a.m. or grabbing handfuls of candy off porches during trick-or-treat instead of just taking one. And like the other day, one of my kids wanted to go to 7-Eleven, going on all these back roads in the pitch black, and we were straight up having a power struggle. I was saying that he needed to wear some sort of light or headlamp. He was stressed and in a hurry and thought I was being ridiculous. And I found myself raising my voice. And I heard him raising his voice because he has testosterone and dominance running through his veins and he wants to do it his way. So my, I know you're in a hurry and stressed, did nothing to soften him. And I was just thinking, shoot, he's this big human, 5 inches taller than me, massive kid, and he can leave anytime he wants in any kind of dark or danger, and he knows it, and I know it. What the heck am I really gonna do? That teenage parent powerlessness is so profound when it hits you. I said breathe to myself the other night, like I do probably once or twice a month nowadays. Breathe and trust your kid. Trust your relationship with your kid. Trust what you've been working on for the last 15 and a half years to do its magic. Stop resisting and let it go, Angelica. Trust. And my kid left the house with no headlamp. He walked right by me, stomping, rushed, frustrated, and I had already stated my support and guidance, and he had heard it already. So I just sat there and breathed in the kitchen, looking at the door he had just slammed. And 3 breaths later, he stormed back in. He ran upstairs, rummaged through his camping pack, and found his headlamp. I had to tolerate my own fear to let him find his own footing. And he had to know he had the freedom to do that, and the choice and consequence were truly on him, no power struggle with mom. He's going to be an adult soon. I didn't really know if he was going to come back and get the headlamp. I was thinking he'd probably just go off into the night and we'd have to do something we rarely have to do, push back with actual restrictions, because that would have shown that he's obviously not ready to handle these freedoms that we give him. But here's what I really believe. If you lay down the foundation of acceptance and calm guidance from the moment that that kid is born, then both that kid and you are a heck of a lot more equipped to handle higher stakes things in teenagehood.